LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Days from Election Eve, All Hallows Eve, presidential campaigning, Vice President Harris in Nevada and Arizona.
Phoenix, are we ready to do this? Are we ready to vote? Are we ready to win?
In Albuquerque, New Mexico, Donald Trump.
With your vote in this election, I will end inflation. I will stop the massive invasion of criminals into your state, and I will bring back the American dream.
Mr. Trump's former vice president, who helped intercede in the January 6th riot situation, Mike Pence, at a public policy event at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire.
I said on the floor of the Senate that day when we reconvened, I said, the world is now going to witness the resilience of our institutions.
Pence says he's endorsing neither presidential ticket. This is ABC News. Threats of violence have prompted school evacuations this month in California, Kansas, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
An anonymous threat reporting system operated by a nonprofit school violence prevention group saw the number of average daily calls triple during 2 weeks in September.
It's not funny. It's not a joke. It has real consequences.
District Attorney Shanna Redwine of Montgomery County, Texas, urges parents and students to come forward if they hear about threats to a school.
Tell somebody, because unfortunately what we can't know is what is in somebody's head and what's in their heart.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
For the fifth straight week, the average rate on a 30-year mortgage has risen, according to Freddie Mac. The rate is now over 6.7%, up from 6.5%. It's still down from last year's 7.7%. Bridges and popular national parks like Yellowstone are among dozens getting federally funded upgrades. Federal highway officials announcing millions of dollars to repair or replace outdated bridges. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products, stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the work day.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The rain and snow moves out, clearing and colder tonight with a low in the mid-20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high upper 40s, but warmer for the weekend, highs into the upper 50s, partly cloudy Saturday, showers and storms developing Saturday night and Sunday. It's 32 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I have D.C. Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges. He was there on January 6th. We discuss. And 1st Congressional District candidate Peter Barca. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Attention, stations on the network. Our broadcast will begin in 1 minute from my mark. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mark. That was your 1 minute time check, stations. We'll be right back.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPay.
Welcome into the Luke Fickell Show, our weekly chat with the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers as they get set to head on down the road. Little bus ride into Iowa City and another night game under the lights against the Iowa Hawkeyes down at Kinnick. Joined now by the Badgers head coach, coming off a really hard-fought, very hard-fought game. Raucous crowd at Camp Randall against a really good Penn State team. You did a lot of things well in that game. They were really good, and then they were able to maybe wear your guys down in the fourth quarter. But what are some of the better things that you took out of that you want to build on this week and moving forward?
I think the poise at handling a lot of the things that they were throwing at us. I mean, on both sides of the football, as well as special teams, in a big environment, in a big game at night. So our guys were really, I thought, really locked in and honed into to that. And it's crazy because I do believe that we did get wore down, and that, you know, when you lose it kind of, you know, midway through the fourth quarter and they take over, and that's, you know, the difference in the ball game, that obviously has a factor. I don't know if it was as much of the physicalness of it as it was even the mental side of things. And, you know, as much as they did, I know that, you know, as I look back, I said, yeah, defensively we got wore down, I think, but it was more like mentally in some ways that we got wore down, because I thought we did a really good job physically. I thought we did a really good job at stopping the run game, in particular in the first half. But late in that, you know, second half, and more so the, you know, middle of the fourth quarter, I think mentally just some things with all the shifts and motions and stuff kind of took a toll, and we, you know, gave up a few bigger plays that, you know, probably sealed the game.
That is something we talked about last week, all the stuff that they do pre-snap. What were the things that you emphasized to your team as you were preparing to face a team that moves around as much as that offense does?
You gotta not worry about being perfect. So to be aligned perfect is not always the easiest thing, and to be shifting and moving the guys up front all the time is really difficult, right? I mean, being a simple guy myself as a D lineman, I always say don't mess with the D line guys. But as they flop and do a lot of those things, you can't try to reset and do every little thing to make sure guys are, well, if you're a three, you're supposed to be like, let's be able to adjust off it. Let's be able to understand that there's going to be some flow to these things, and not get so honed in on the perfect alignments of some things, because you can't with tackles over and an extra two linemen, an extra one lineman. And, you know, you got to be able to get yourself lined up. You got to be able to do the little things. You got to be able to mirror the backs, and you got to be physical. And I thought that our guys did a really good job of handling that.
You forced five straight punts against one of the better offenses in the Big Ten. I'm not sure how many teams will do that to Penn State, so those are things to build on. Drew Aller, their quarterback and a really talented one, gets hurt in the game. They go to Bo Prabula, who's different. I mean, you prepare. He had played, so you guys, it wasn't like it totally caught you off guard that he was going to play. But it does add to the challenge, right? A little different skill set with this guy.
Yeah, I think that's what maybe took a bigger toll. Not saying it would have been different if Drew Aller still been in there. I think we were a little bit more in tune to the things that he, you know, and they were doing with him. They always had used both quarterbacks, but, you know, sporadic, you know, maybe four snaps, maybe two of those four snaps he wasn't even at quarterback. He was at wide receiver. Not knowing that coming out the second half that he was obviously down and not going to play, I don't know that we had a lot of adjustments and had thought about it. But some of those things that they did there, in particular in the fourth, with the other quarterback, with some wildcat situations, they did. To give them credit, they were prepared, and I think it cost us.
No two quarterbacks are exactly alike, but is that something as you build a program, or did you do it at Cincinnati where whoever backed up Desmond Ridder, was he different? I mean, ideally, do you like to have different skill sets that are more than a little subtle at that position?
Yeah, speaking from a defensive guy, you know, you do. I think the thing about it is you just don't know, right? I mean, I like to look at it as like, okay, if you're truly going back to the old school days where you're recruiting a quarterback every year, if you have one that you maybe took that's more athletic, the next year you maybe look at one that's a little bit different, and then the next year the one that's a little bit different. So you have a variety. Which ones actually end up being the backup? Which ones actually end up, you know, becoming, you know, go from good players to great players? You don't always know, but I think in that room, in the process of recruiting, you got to put some guys in there that are a little bit different and have different skill sets, and then expect that, you know, obviously you can teach them and grow them to do the things you want them to do, but they do start off with some different skill sets.
It is, it's a different animal though today. As you said, the old school days, you could develop, and here, if somebody comes in, if it's from another university or whatever, he's going to expect to play, right, no matter the style that he has.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're going out there and you're bringing in a you know, a guy that maybe has 1 year, like which we have, you aren't looking for a variety, right? You're not looking for maybe that guy that, hey, he's going to be able to develop in this way. He's an athletic guy that, you know, we can teach a little bit more to the system, and we can – you know, when you're a systematic team, when you bring a guy in for a year, they kind of got to fit the system. And I think that limits you a little bit in some of your development, and then it limits you a little bit in some of the varieties that you have, in particular in the quarterback room.
We talked on one of your recent television shows about the next play mentality, and it's one of the things that just watching Braden Locke, there was the tough moment with the interception. But then he comes back, you go down the field, kick a field goal. C.J. Williams makes a terrific catch. But is that one of the things with Braden, even last year to this? He always seems like a confident guy and a smart guy. But are you seeing a guy who can kind of let go of the bad moment and just move on to next?
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I've seen him really dwell upon, you know, those moments and really even emotionally handle him in the way that which I would probably handle him, right? I mean, I'm not saying I'd throw my helmet, but like even going back to last year, Tanner Mordecai, you could know, you know, if he made a mistake like that or something, it was, you know, going to be a little bit more emotional. And that's where Braden has done a really good job. He's been able to control his emotions, been able to handle some of those things. And it's helped him, I think, truly kind of move past it and make sure he understands that the next play is the most important play.
We haven't talked a ton about your kickers, your punter and your kicker. Nathaniel Vaikos now has a record here, most 50-plus yard field goals in the history of the Wisconsin program, which is that's impressive. And I didn't know that the first sizable run of the game would come from your punter, Atticus Bertrams. He's going to be able to brag about that for a long time, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But he took a shot, and I guess that's one of the first shots he's probably taken in this game. But no, those guys had. It did a really good job. Atticus obviously improvised on something that I didn't do a good enough job of preparing them for. But nonetheless, you know, you expect guys to be able to make plays, and whatever that means at whatever position you're at. And that just happens to mean something at the punter position that maybe we didn't envision, but he did. He reacted. He made a really good play, and then you know, obviously he got a long, a 15 or so, 17 yard run for us. And then as you look at Vaikos, I think maybe I'd say he was struggling a little bit, but you could tell he wasn't himself the last few weeks. Yes, we'd missed one or two, haven't had as many opportunities, and I think that makes it harder on those guys, right? I mean, you don't want to put them in situations where you have a lot of opportunities because you want to be scoring touchdowns and you want to be kicking extra points. But I think there'd been a span there where he hadn't had many opportunities to kick field goals. And the one he had was, you know, the one that got blocked. But give him credit when, you know, when his number was called, obviously he did a hell of a job.
I got to think that's a great source of comfort for you and a team is when you guys are driving and you get into those either ors when he's right, that you feel like, okay, I got three here. I feel real good about that. You always want seven, but to know that he's going to get you those three.
Especially in those, that range there where he made them this past week, you know, I didn't want to script it out like that, right? I wanted to, maybe if we needed him and he was going to kick a field goal, the first one wasn't going to be 51 or 52 yards. Like only because of, you know, he hadn't been in quite in a rhythm the last few weeks, but the way the game plays out, you got to be able to step up, and you know, he did.
And the thing about Bertrams too, he's going to, as he should, be really proud of that run. But you got a little something going there with him, and then Will Pauling is. I mean, you guys have been pinning opponents deep. with some regularity here, and this whole thing about tilting the field, he's done a nice job of that, hasn't he?
He has. He's done a really good job. And the ones that have rolled into the end zone, because that's like one of those ones that just drive me nuts. The ones that have gone into the end zone haven't been in a situation where you thought it was, hey, let's drop this thing on the 8-yard line. It was a little bit deeper, and he got a hold of it, and they let it roll, and it did roll into the end zone. Or at Rutgers, where the wind was really bad, and they weren't going to let you kind of get into a rhythm to try to down the thing. Now, we did, but you know, two of them, I think, went into the end zone. So he has been really efficient in that, and I don't think people are going to let him kind of sit back there and kind of go target practice.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about the return game. Hunter Wohler providing a nice little spark there in the punt return game. Gets you ready for the Iowa Hawkeyes as well, team coming off an impressive win last week on the home field against Northwestern. This is the Luke Fickell Show, brought to you in part by Culver's. Badger fans, visit uwbadgers.com/contest to enter for your chance to be the Culver's VIP family at a Badger football game this season. Four families will be selected for the chance to compete for cash on the field at halftime. That's uwbadgers.com/contest. Test. We'll continue with the Luke Fickell Show in just a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey Badger fans, fall is here and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryant Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryant systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
If you want to be a running back, there's only one place to go. Running Back U, baby. Right here at Wisconsin, where legendary players and unbeatable records are born. And when you want to defeat cancer, there's only one place to go. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, where our own unbeatable team takes on cancer like no other hospital. From pioneering new treatments to defeating cancers no one else could, right here is where the best of the best come together to change the game. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletics season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
Sawyer, and I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
On the football field, the skilled players get paid the most. The same is true in construction. Some of the most skilled players building our roads, solar farms, and stadiums are the men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. If you're ready to step up to a job where you can earn more without college debt and operate equipment like cranes, excavators, bulldozers, and drones, you're ready to join our team today at join139.com.
We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com, a proud sponsor of Wisconsin Athletics. Well, we mentioned before the break, Hunter Wohler is putting him more on his plate, his ability as a return man. I mean, I guess job one is catch it, which he's been doing, right? But then he's just a ball player. He's like, whatever you want him to do, it seems like he'll just go do it.
He's getting more and more... comfortable and aggressive. And I think last week he might have had 24 yards in return. And I think we left some out there, and not on his part, but I think we left some out there on, you know, some other guys helping him out a little bit more that, you know, maybe could have given him some more space and maybe even a few more yards. But we kind of had to call upon him. You know, we had had some struggles early in the season with just putting the ball on the ground and wanted something a little bit sure. And you know, he didn't bat an eye at it. You know, we've kind of had held him back a little bit just because we do put a lot on his plate. He plays a lot. But it's a situation where, you know, this is something we need.
Some of those early games, it hasn't been just a Wisconsin problem. Those 11 a.m. or even out in L.A., that was a 12:30. I mean, if you're looking, if you're north end zone looking south, that sun, I know it's you can't accept that, I guess, as an excuse, but it is a challenge, isn't it, looking up into that?
Oh, it is. It definitely is. And you know, those guys going out there, even pregame, it's different, right? And you don't always get to pick which end you're going to be at when you're receiving the punt. There's a confidence level in a lot of those things. And you know, that's the good fortune for us is Hunter has incredible confidence. He hasn't done it or hadn't done it a ton, but you can even see he's getting more and more confident in it. But understanding what the situation is, understanding what the conditions are like, whether it's sun or wind, you know, you've got to make some split second decisions. And to be honest, he made a decision in the Northwestern game that nobody really talks about. But he picked the ball up off of one bounce, knowing that he was going to get blasted. But really, he knew that he was saving us probably 15 or 20 yards in field position. And he was willing to do that, even though he was going to take a shot.
Yeah, that's great. Great trust, because some guys, it's easy for broadcasters to say business decisions there, but that's a big deal, right? Saving you 20 yards there or more, it counts.
Well, it's huge, but also it's one of those things where you say, hey, we don't want to be in a situation where you're trying to field the thing when you're alive, right? I mean, like the ball's already hit the ground, you know, just get away from it and make sure we secure the football. And to most people, you would say that, but to Hunter Wohler, you trust him to make the decision that he needs to make. And he made a decision, and it was what was best for the team, that's for sure.
Speaking of punt returns, Iowa, you mentioned it in your news conference, there's been an identity there that's been really consistent from your days, you know, on the coaching staff at Ohio State. Now you're back in the league. And one of the things they've had is really good punt return guys, going back to, you know, Tim DeWight, maybe 20 years ago.
I know him well, I remember.
Yes, Cooper DeGene, and now Caden Wiegen. That's just he had a big punt return last week. That's just a big part of it. We talk every week about how much you guys spend on special teams, and it's got to be a big focus.
Punt return and kick return. Yeah. He does both, and he's dynamic in it. He's very confident and catches the ball really, really, really well, and you can see how they've kind of even evolved to say, hey, we got to give this guy some more opportunities. They're a pressure group, but they do a really good job at forcing the kick and getting on bodies so that they can give him some space.
Caleb Johnson, the top running back in the Big Ten, and really only Ashton Gentry of Boise State, I think, has been better statistically across the country. He seems like a really good combination where he can motor, but he's got some thickness to him too, doesn't he?
He does. He's a kid I know well. He's a Hamilton, Ohio kid. I watched him play in high school. I watched him play in the playoffs, I think, against my own son. So I've known him and seen him for a while. I think kind of at the beginning of the year, they were, I'm going to say like us, I'm not comparing, but like they were playing three or four backs. And I think they kind of figured out to hone in on, you know, giving him the majority of those opportunities, and it's voted really well for him and for them.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Luke Lachey, since we both know his dad, with Jim Lachey, the former outstanding offensive lineman. But again, credit to him, because it was a pretty nasty, well, it was a gruesome injury last year he had, but he's back, and if you didn't know any better, you'd think he's been fine all along, it seems.
Yeah, I was surprised he came back for another year, because he obviously had a lot of options, even though getting healthy and going to the NFL. But he is a really good football player, and obviously they've always and will continue to use their tight ends really, really well, and he just kind of fits into that mold.
Yeah, you're right. In a general sense, the identity of that team, I mean, there could always be tweaks, but it's pretty much the Iowa you remembered from when you were an assistant at Ohio State.
Right? It is. I mean, that's a credit to what they've done. But obviously, there's an evolution of things that they continue to do. But you know darn well that they're going to produce some really good offensive linemen. They're going to have some tight ends, and I don't just mean one. You know, they're going to have a slew of tight ends, and they're going to be as sound and as tough of a football team as you're going to find.
You're facing another team. It looks like they got a different quarterback here, Brendan Sullivan, who has played. He was kind of the red zone quarterback for them, transfer from Northwestern. He's different. We talked about quarterbacks having different skill sets. He's different from Cade McNamara in a few ways too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I think obviously he played. He was more some of their red zone stuff. He's a guy that's got a little bit more maybe motor in him and the wheels. So they had used him when he was kind of the backup in a role where, you know, he would run the ball a bit more and still do the things that they do, some of the, you know, the boots and naked stuff. But he poses a little bit of a different issue at times, especially when the ball's in his hand.
We talk about different stadiums here in the Big Ten, and I've had more than one person mention that Kinnick can be about as loud as any. That how you remember? It's been a minute, but you're smiling, so yeah. I'm thinking, it gets a little raucous in there.
Kinnick Stadium at night is, I'm not sure there gets to be a whole lot better atmospheres. You know, what we saw here last week is that kind of atmosphere. It's going to be very, very similar, just a little bit more hostile being on the other side of the home crowd. But it will be very unique. It will be a very exciting and very lively and loud environment.
Your second year here now, and I've just noticing you last year, how you embrace these rivalry games. This is the trophy season portion of the schedule here, starting with this with Iowa. And you could argue that you don't really need a trophy because the series has been so even. But that's a part of it that I just get the sense you really appreciate this. Wisconsin, Iowa, obviously the end of the season, the game with Minnesota. Those are things you embrace, don't you?
It is. I mean, if you love college football, that's what I think that's what separates it from a lot of other things. Ability. I know they've created some of these rivalries more so in the last, you know, 25 years than maybe some of the historic ones. But as you look at it, the best rivalries, obviously the ones that have history, but also the best rivalries, the ones that have proximity. And I think when there's things that, you know, in every aspect of the game that you encounter with somebody like this, it makes it that much more special, right? Whether it's the proximity, whether it's the recruiting base, it's just the nature of these things are really special. And that's what's exciting.
I've always thought I'd really be interested in your perspective here, because I talk to my counterpart there all the time. I always thought that Wisconsin and Iowa are much more alike than either side would ever want to admit. You know, like the walk-ons through the years, and you saw it from another sideline as an assistant and as a head coach in 2011. Did you kind of view them in the same like style and just approach outside looking in that, yeah, they're quite a bit alike?
Yes, and then I would always, I mean, this, I don't know if that, like, historically this game has always been at night, but for some reason, even when I, you know, wasn't in the Big Ten or was in the Big Ten, you know, as an assistant coach, I just remember watching this game, and it was always played at night, and I felt like I was watching two really similar teams on both sides of the ball. And at the end of the game, whoever was probably going to make a couple plays in the fourth and be the most physical and play well in the red zone was going to be what I remembered being the winner. And I don't know that it's changed a whole lot. And that's another one of those things that just makes it that much more exciting.
Yeah, kind of those old school games, bloody and 17-13 or something like that. But a lot of respect both sides as well, we should add. We will take a break. More to come. We'll check in with a couple of players this week. We'll visit with Jake Chaney in a few minutes. Up next, we'll have a sit-down chat with Tawee Walker as the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road, continues in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year.
But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
We continue with the Luke Fickell Show as we transition to the players portion of the program. In a few minutes, we'll check in with linebacker Jake Chaney. Right now, we visit with senior running back Tawee Walker, the transfer from Oklahoma. And already at this point in the season at Wisconsin, Tawee has well surpassed his workload last year with the Sooners. 126 totes, 624 yards. That's 5 yards a pop. Yes, it was tough sledding against a very good Penn State defense last week. But in the three games prior, Walker was averaging almost 6.5 yards a carry. He has rushed for 10 touchdowns, including that short touchdown run last Saturday night against the Nittany Lions. The coaches have talked about shortening that running back rotation, looking to get someone hot. And they found that guy in Walker, and you better believe he has embraced this increased workload.
No doubt. It's been great, especially with the guys in my room that I know that go in there and can produce the same way I do. I'm blessed to be the leader of this running back room and to start the team off and just start the momentum, and the guys behind me going to follow up with it.
Fans around here, we're all getting our first look at you, obviously, in Madison. Power. You run with great power. Has that always been a part of your game as a running back from high school to junior college now to mate with Oklahoma and then obviously here at Wisconsin?
No doubt. In my mind, I feel like as a running back, you can play the game longer when you giving out hits instead of receiving them. People say like running backs take hits all day. I feel like if you go ahead and give them out, you won't be taking them all day. So that's my kind of philosophy.
Wait, one of the things in recent game against Rutgers, you're dishing out that punishment. And then you show people like, oh, this guy's kind of fast too. We see the power. I know you were banged up in the first game, but obviously been feeling a little bit better of late, right?
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. And if you have no, I took the brace off. I feel like people kind of thought I had to show them a little speed. But now my O-line made it easy though, so that was kind of like a walk in the park. Especially when I got an O-line like that dominating up front, it just makes my job so much easier. So, but yeah, I got the brace off this week, and I just feel a lot better.
I'm just going to ask you about that, this offensive line. They've taken a lot of pride through the years about O-lines at Wisconsin. This is a veteran group, too,
oh,
right?
No doubt.
And it seems like that mesh, the confidence
those guys blocking for you, you knowing they're going to block for you, that seems to be growing each week?
No doubt, yes. And them guys attack every day like it's a game day. And then they're so intense at practice, you can just – it makes their job so much easier on Saturday. But it's not easy. This playing O-line is not easy. But they come in every day, put their head down and work, and you can just see the results on Saturday.
I think fans like to hear your path here to Wisconsin. You were in junior college. And then the way, from what I understand, you got your eyes open at Oklahoma. DeMarco Murray, the running back coach.
Yes, sir.
He was tough, but you appreciated that.
Oh, no.
You?
No doubt. He was definitely a hard coach for sure, but I love him to death. Can't talk to him now because, of course, rules and whatnot. But after season, after my college career, I definitely would – that would be a friend I talked to throughout my whole lifetime. Grateful for the time I was there. But I'm so glad to be here, and I met Coach Spaulding. I love Coach Spaulding.
Devin Spaulding, too. It sounds like – tell me, it's attention to the detail, right? I mean, as a high school star, junior college as well – but there are just more nuances to playing running back at this level. Is that fair to say?
Oh, no, for sure. Definitely is a different thing, especially coming from a junior college. It's a lot different. Just from fans-wise, you don't have a lot of fans. Junior college don't got no – except for my family, of course. But other than that, like, you don't deal with fans, social media. Nobody really knows me unless you're from my city or if you're from my home cities. But now everybody got their eyes on me. If I do one thing wrong, everybody sees. I do one thing good, everybody sees. So, yeah, definitely – different type of vibe.
What's that like, especially in the home turf, when you break a big run and you hear 76,000 fans?
It's an amazing feeling, especially the fans we got. I was hoping we could have did the jump around I scored. It was a Purdue game. I scored right before the jump. I was hoping the jump around would have been on that offensive drive, but we was on defense. But it was still amazing here after that game. After that touchdown.
Absolutely. Tell us about the room. Darian Dupree, obviously, you got Cade Iacomelli, you got Jackson A. I mean, it's a great – seems like a great room where you guys really complement each other well, right?
No doubt. And it starts with our coach, man. He just praises – he wants to play the best player on the field and praises that we're going to compete every single day. And everybody in that room is loves to compete. No one hates on each other. Everybody's cheers for one another. When I'm in, Dupree Jackson cheer for me. When Dupree's in the game, I cheer for him. And we bounce off each other information. If I'm in the game, I come off the field, I ask them, Grover, Jack, anybody, I ask any one of them, what do you see out there that I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right, what you guys see? Same thing with Dupree. When he comes to me, asks me for advice. Same with Yach. And, like, we just – everybody in that room, man, just has great energy. We hang out outside of football. And it all starts with our running back coach. He just brings the energy we need, and we bounce off him.
Who did you admire growing up as watching running backs when you were a younger guy, thinking, this is what I want to do, this is how I'd like to be?
It had to be Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
that's not the reason I chose Oklahoma, but that is definitely the guy. Funny story is he broke his leg like a couple months before I broke mine when I was like 10 years old. And then we came back around the same time, too. And, like, just how he bounced back from his injury was just amazing. It just was never seen before. And I just felt like I had to do the same thing, so.
Yeah, well, he would run over people, too.
So no doubt. Not for sure. He definitely was an example of giving hits out and not receiving them.
No doubt. No, I hear that you are ultra-competitive in everything you do.
Oh,
on the football field, obviously. But you could be playing checkers, whatever.
Anything.
That's just kind of who you are.
Oh, no, for sure. Definitely. I think I get it from – my father was a football coach, but I think I get it from my mom. My mom's real competitive, so I feel like I get that from her.
I would imagine, too, there's a lot of things that motivate athletes. You got a 3-year-old son.
Yes,
too.
Sir.
That's a great motivator.
Oh,
right?
Definitely. Him and my my mom and my father, very supportive, but definitely my son is definitely my biggest motivator.
Future football player, kind of early to tell at age 3, but maybe
I'm hoping he gets some height on him. but, yeah, I hope he plays everything, though, for sure. But I want him to play multiple sports. He can do whatever. I'm not going to make him play sports, but I assume he's going to definitely get into it because everybody around him does it. But, yeah, hopefully he's – I think he got some good genes, so he'll be all right.
Yeah, as you say, I think that's fair to say.
Yes,
you mentioned the guys in the running back room. You like to, if you can kick back a little bit outside of football, what as you get to know the area a little bit, you know, outside of the football facility, what's fun? How do you try to unwind here between all the responsibilities you have?
So I recently been going to Penn Seekers after the home games,
okay.
Getting into golf a little bit. My father likes to golf. my coach likes to golf, so I'll be, and Jackson in the runway room likes to golf, so I'll be showing them my swing. I send them videos of my swing. They don't, they say I got like, I think they said like a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
But they say that's not, I thought it was a bad rating, but they said that's honestly not a bad rating because I don't golf, but I'm trying to get into golf. So I like Pin Seekers, and just food spots on State Street. I love food. And I like the shop too. I like a shop called August.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wisconsin Science Team got some nice stuff too. So I like to just Pin Seekers and to shop around State Street. Is
That's fair. I know Coach Spalding loves to golf. Now, we've found out just over the course of time that Jake Renfro loves to golf, Joe Brunner.
A lot
of big hitters. You got a lot of golfers on this team.
I was surprised, especially the bigger guys. I didn't know that was a. I didn't know golf was a thing for the bigger guys, so that's definitely new to me.
So who would be in the running back room? Who would be the best golfer, would you say?
It has to be Jackson Aker. He's a big guy, too, so it's just like, yeah. So
big hitters.
For sure.
So it's been everything you hoped for here so far. Best to go. Yeah, and you got guys like Ben Barton giving you grief here and all that. So obviously even defensive linemen, everybody mixes it up here. It's been everything that you had hoped for so far, right?
Definitely. Been an amazing time on and off the field. Met some amazing people. Grateful to meet my coach, Coach Spalding, man. He's been nothing but amazing to me and nothing but truthful to me. Strength coach, Coach Brady, and Coach Jay, everybody I can name, the whole coach of strength, that them guys getting me right. Wouldn't chose to be anywhere else.
That's Badgers running back Tawee Walker. Stay with us when we continue. We'll visit with linebacker Jake Chaney as the Luke Fickell Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey Badger fans, fall is here and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryant Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryant systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
College sports fans now have access to hundreds of weekly podcasts that zero in on the college sports world. Now available in the Varsity Podcast Network and part of the new Varsity app. The app is free and available from wherever you get your favorite apps. Download the Varsity app today to have access to hundreds of national podcasts as well as your favorite team-focused podcasts. The Varsity Podcast Network, now available for free on the Varsity app. Download from the App Store and listen today.
OK,
Continuing with the players portion of the Luke Fickell Show, we thank Tawee Walker for joining us, and now we turn our attention to the defense, and specifically linebacker Jake Chaney, a senior out of Cape Coral, Florida, fourth on the team in tackles as a sack and three tackles for loss. Those are numbers, but make no mistake, the coaches have been raving about the leadership component of Jake Chaney, going back to the winter conditioning, spring ball, summer workouts, fall camp. And it continues to this day. He is certainly someone that players turn to and coaches look to continue leading this team as it hits the final month of the regular season. I mentioned he's from Cape Coral, Florida. That, as you know, is hurricane country, and they've had more than their share in the last couple of years with Hurricane Ian 2 years ago, multiple storms this year. Jake Chaney, like all of us, has concerns outside of his craft, and there's been some nervous times down there, but he says everybody right now is doing okay.
We were hanging in there. I know my parents already got their power back. You know, now it's just all clean up. So I think they're hanging in there. Hopefully they don't get hit by a third one.
I was going to say, it's part of the deal. I mean, you know, being from Florida, but like the last couple of years have been a little bit too interesting, haven't they?
Yeah, we got to start using those paper straws.
No doubt. Mention the leadership. That's something that you must take really seriously, because if it's Brady Collins, if it's Coach Fickell, they mentioned you right away, kind of leading the way in the conditioning and the winter. That's pretty important stuff to you, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, from the day I got here, you know, that's the biggest thing here, right? I think there's something special about Wisconsin where, you know, it's not an industry. It's not a plant, right? I feel like this place will always be the same regardless of who is in it. You know, my freshman year had guys like Leo Chanel, Jack Sanborn, where they took me under their wing, right? You know, those are big-time players. Those are big-time guys. They're still playing till this day. And, you know, they didn't need to do something like that for me. They didn't need to do something like that for kids like Jake Rasloff or Brian Sanborn, right? You know, this is just a different type of love that comes with the W here. And, you know, now it's just my time to have that type of service to those young guys.
You mentioned guys like that with Leo and Jack specifically. I mean, the skill set is obvious, but there's more to it than that. What did you pick up from just watching those guys go about their business?
I mean, I think Jack and Leo were night and day players, right? They weren't the same on the field, right? They didn't play the same type of game. But when you look at somebody like Leo Chanel, he didn't need much to get going. He didn't need much. To be honest, he didn't need much film watching, right? You just throw him out on the field and let him do what he does. And, you know, that's how the way he played. But Jack, you know, he was a very fundamental, very smart, very instinctive guy where, you know, it felt like he just always knew what's going on and he played a game that way. And, you know, those are two very special guys. And, you know, they just change your perspective of the game, right? You just love watching how they play. And, you know, I think that was very special for me and those guys in that room, being able to watch them by people like that.
So it's really a big deal for you to help the newcomers, be they transfers or freshmen. Now you're the guy passing along that advice, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think one thing about the transfers, you know, I think our coaches did a really good job of bringing in the right guys, bringing in the guys who are going to click and mesh. You know, I don't think there's been a time where we had a transfer guy who didn't mesh into the culture, who didn't fit into the locker room. And, you know, those guys are real easy to talk to, real easy to lead and real easy to follow because they always do the right thing. Man, like, shout out Jaheim Thomas, right? Fifth year, he's older than me. And, you know, being able to play next to him, you know, I think a lot of people thought we were going to bump heads or clash, but, you know, that's my brother and I love him to death. And, you know, I'm happy I was able to have somebody like that in my life.
You answered my next question in part because the word culture is used a lot. What does that mean to you? If you're talking to someone, they're saying, describe the culture with Wisconsin football. How do you answer that?
There's a lot of things I want to say. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this. I'm not going to say faith, family, and football. But I think the biggest thing is family.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything we do it together. And, you know, a lot of people might not like us. A lot of people might not support us, but that doesn't matter. I think the biggest thing that matters to us is the locker room, and I think our culture is the locker room.
One of the things I've heard through the years here is what you guys will say before games and maybe before practices, we all we got, we all we need. That's real, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's how it always is.
For you, this a second year now with Coach Tressel, the defense, how is it different? Do you feel like you've settled in? Like this defense has been playing some pretty good ball here of late. How much different is it schematically from what it was like before for you?
I think football is a universal game, right? Outside of like the 1980s offense, like outside of Army and a couple other guys, you know, football is very universal. Everybody runs the same thing, right? Coach Leonard's defense isn't that much different than Coach Tressel's defense, right? It's just maybe teach a little, certain ways, but, you know, it's all the same. But it's the understanding of why people are calling certain things or the understanding of what type of situations we're in. And I know I think our defense is doing a great job of situational football. And, you know, we're finally playing together. And, you know, that's what it is on Saturday. That's what it was on versus Purdue. That's what it was versus Rutgers. And though I think those are two good teams where we were able to show what we could truly do if we got on the same page.
And somebody like you, we talk about leadership. You've got the green dot, right? So what's that? That means that they're in communication with you. They don't give that just to anybody. Obviously, it's somebody like you. They've got great trust in you. How is that gone? How do you like having somebody in your ear before the play clock hits 15?
To be honest, we don't use the green dot that much.
Okay.
I think it'll be a disservice to Coach Tress, and it'll be a disservice to me if, you know, we're just over communicating in my ear, right? A lot of, you know, we played football for a long time without the green dot and, you know, with signals and all that stuff. Now, maybe we can start hiding, you know, people signal still. We all know that. But maybe you could hide a few of those things. But outside of that, you know, we have our checks. We have our rules. And, you know, that's learned through practice Monday through Friday. And, you know, the green dot, I think the green dot's more of a service to somebody like Braden Locke, right,
okay,
on the offensive side who needs to get something now. But for the defense, in all honesty, if our rules are set, we just line up and play ball.
Yeah, that's fair. As much as you mentioned that the game is universal, as much as it maybe has changed in some ways from the 80s, it's in space now. It's still, I know Coach Fickell's talked about, this is still about physicality.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Still, that hasn't changed, right? And you're in the middle of it. Defenses are still built, I would imagine, inside out. So that part, that is the same, correct?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, when Coach Fickell comes in and when Coach Longo comes in with the new air raid offense or the new spread offense, you're thinking practice is going to change. You're thinking that, you know, these are going to be less physical practices or the runs aren't going to be as pounding as compared to our old offense. But I was wrong. You know, it's still about whoever's in the box has to fight. And whoever's in the box determines the game, how the game's going to go. You know, you're going to have your big plays from your receivers and your DBs here and there, but, you know, the game is still won up front.
Mm-hmm. And the game, as much as the league has changed from when you've arrived, you know, playing a league game at USC and then you got Oregon coming here and all that, kind of fun, isn't it? I mean, the Big Ten is always fun. It's always competitive and tough. But now, in some ways, I mean, it's different, but I would imagine you guys are enjoying.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, you look at those games, right? It's not like we're changing conferences. It's not like we're only playing Pac-12 teams now. But it's like you finally get a true mix of football, right? You go over to USC, you go over to Washington, you go over to Oregon, and, you know, you're playing air raid spread offenses. But you're still in the Big Ten West in a sense where you just go play Rutgers and they're trying to pound the ball in your face, right? You go play Minnesota, you go play Iowa still. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a true, you know, I think that's a true football experience where you can't get that in much other places.
That's Badgers linebacker Jake Chaney. Stay with us. We'll check out the schedule this weekend in the Big Ten Conference as we conclude the Luke Fickell Show in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, could there be winds of change blowing through the northern part of Wisconsin? We'll talk to Kyle Kilborn running against Tom Tiffany. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory, and 107.5 FM, W298DK, Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Broadcasting to Amory and northwestern Wisconsin at 1260 AM.
Broadcasting to the world on the Civic Media app.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley,
we're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. In touch with the City of Lakes.
In touch with you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Tracy Olson of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Broadcasting to Amory and northwestern Wisconsin at 1260 AM.
Broadcasting to the world on the Civic Media app.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley,
we're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. In touch with the City of Lakes.
In touch with you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Check out the Saturday schedule. Early window games. You got Minnesota at Illinois. Northwestern hits the road to West Lafayette to take on Purdue. And then the big Fox game will have Penn State in Happy Valley taking on Ohio State. Showdown game there in the Big Ten. 2:30 games. Oregon comes east to the Big House, taking on Michigan. Indiana on the road to East Lansing. The unbeaten Hoosiers against the Spartans. UCLA will make the flight over to Lincoln to square off with Nebraska. And the other night game Saturday, USC at Washington, an old Pac-12 game, but it's a Big Ten game now. Badgers and the Hawkeyes are covered Saturday from Kinnick Stadium with Mike Keller with the first hour starting at 4:30. Tausch and I take over at 5:30. Kickoff for the Badgers and the Hawkeyes set for 6:30 Central Time from Iowa City. We will talk to you on Saturday. Both teams 3-2. Big game for both programs. Let's see what unfolds, the latest in this great rivalry, the Badgers and the Hawkeyes. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth?"
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.